Yeah, so like Max said, we're talking about chapters 8 through 10. My name's Caleb, like Max said. Hopefully you guys read the chapters for tonight because I prepared a little quiz for after with a written essay portion. So after you fill out the survey Brent gave you, you'll have to do that. So you can't leave before you do that. But no, not really. If you remember, Josh kicked us off talking through chapters 1 through 3 and then Steele did 4 through 7 last month, and I really appreciated what those guys had to say about leadership. Josh talked about servant leadership and the master's master plan, and Steele talked last month about real leadership or authentic leadership, and I've been thinking about that talk a lot in the last month. I thought it was really good. Chapters 8 through 10 cover a wide range of things. The author of the book talks about in chapters 8 and 9 essential leadership qualities, really good qualities that leaders should hope to have or should have to be in leadership. And in chapter 10, he talked about being spirit-filled leaders, and it's really way too much to be able to talk about in less than 30 minutes, so we're not going to be able to get through all of it, so I just kind of threw that out the window. And no, I didn't really, but we're not going to be able to get in depth in the same way that we could in the book. So hopefully you guys read those chapters. We'll give a little insight into what we're going to talk about tonight. And I've entitled this talk, Growing Into a Leader. Really, the idea is growing into a leader or becoming a better leader. We believe here that God has called us as the men of the church to lead out in our character, in our lives, in our families, in our marriage, in our church, in our work. So to continually be more like Jesus, and I appreciate that. We're going to talk about that tonight. So I like this quote from Vince Lombardi. Steele, that's a famous football coach. I just like this idea. Leaders are made, they're not born. They are made by hard effort, which is the price which all of us must pay to achieve any goal that is worthwhile. And I think that just really applies to growing. The entire reason we're going through this book is that we would grow as spiritual leaders and be more effective in our spiritual leadership. And it takes a lot of work, and we're not just born into this. You don't just wake up and you're the spiritual leader that you could be. So I'm going to pray, and then we'll go through it. I invite you to pray with me. Jesus, I thank you for tonight. Thank you for these men being here. Thank you that you love us and that you're delighted in us, Jesus. I just want to rest in that. I love that song, Give Me Jesus, God. Take all the world. I pray that would be our heart tonight, that we would surrender to you. And I pray you just speak to us now, God. Speak through me. Pray your message would be clear through me for these men and that they would be able to take something home tonight to apply to their lives. We thank you that you're for us and that you're with us tonight. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. So reading through these, God put some things on my heart, and I just want to share those with you. Again, these chapters were really good and chock full of a lot of good information, but I didn't really know how to break that down. Chapter 8 talks specifically about these essential spiritual qualities for a leader, discipline, vision, wisdom, decision, integrity, humility, courage, sincerity. And I think the author did a really great job breaking these down, and I appreciated all that he had he said in these areas, but I don't just want to regurgitate what the book said. So I want to talk about some things God put on my heart in these areas, and kind of the idea of how to grow in these, or maybe how I've learned some of these areas for my own life, just ways that God has put these things in my life, some of these things, and I want to share those with you. Sometimes, I don't know if you're like me, reading chapters like this, things that like, here's what a leader should be, it can be more of like a gut punch than an encouraging thing, like, I have a lot of work to do. I have a lot of areas to grow, and maybe you guys are like that, like me. And I rather be discouraged, I want to look in how can I grow and what God has for me in these many things, areas that I can grow in. And what do I do with all this information? How do I take the information of the book and apply it? That can just seem sometimes really difficult for me. And so God just really impressed something on my heart on how he's grown me. So the first thing I think we need to think about is how do we apply these? Like where do we take that information from the book? How do I become disciplined? Or how do I even learn what it means to be disciplined? What does it mean to have vision for my family or for my life or for my job or for my kids? What does it mean to have integrity or courage? And I think the first basic way that we can learn that is the Sunday school answer. You guys know the Sunday school answer, and that's we learn that Jesus, you know? If you've ever taught Sunday school or kids' church, you always have one kid that you any question you ask is like, Jesus! You're like, yeah, that is the right answer, but it's not what I was going for. But I think that is important. That's obviously the number one thing that can help us grow in spiritual leadership. Our time with the Lord in word and prayer is vital for our growth. If we ever want to have these things be said about us, that we would be wise, that we would be courageous, we need to get with Jesus. We need to have daily devotion with him and prayer. And obviously after that very important thing, though, we can just sometimes just say, oh, it's just that, and that's enough. I think if we look at the Bible, though, God uses more than just our own individual time with him. And that's what we want to talk about. Tonight. The first thing I think we have to do if we want to grow in these areas, something that stuck out to me, I think we have to honestly evaluate where we are in these areas if we want to be a better leader. I think this does happen by being with Jesus in our reading and our praying. The Holy Spirit puts something on our heart. Maybe you listen to worship music and you're singing to that in your car. And God might just put something on your heart that's like, hey, you need to grow in this area. And that can happen for me. The Holy Spirit can convict us or prompt us, but where do we take it from there? Isn't it so true that you have to know where you are if you want to know where you're going, right? If you're trying to go on a road trip, you know, back in the day, you'd get a paper map out, and finding the destination on the map doesn't really help you if you don't know where you are, right? I mean, you could start on the wrong side of the map and you're never going to get to where you want to be. And luckily now, if you pull out your phone and that map, you like just click that current location, and that saves all of our lives. But do we have a current location button for our own hearts and for our own maturity? The same is for our lives. We have to know where we are. We have to be honest about where we are spiritually and morally. We have to be honest with ourselves. We have to be honest with Jesus. We can't just sugarcoat that our life is better than it really is. We have to look at that in our marriage and in our parenting and in our work. We can't gloss over things. And I appreciate these verses. These came to mind thinking about this idea that Proverbs 12:15 says that fools think their own way is right. Lamentations 3:40 tells us to test and examine our ways. I think that's so important that we have to honestly be real about where we are, right? I think that's something so important. I talk to men, they don't even want to engage with that. Or maybe they do, maybe they know, but they don't want to really dig into that. They don't want to admit it. They don't want to look weak. And I think that's the first thing we have, if we want to grow as leaders in these areas, we have to be honest. And that kind of takes us into the second thing that we're going to talk about tonight, and that's what I really want to camp on for a while tonight, is we need to seek to learn from leaders around us, people who have gone before us. I think the Bible is super clear, super clear that the Lord uses others in our lives to learn and to grow. When we're honest with the Lord, with ourselves, we realize the need for help, and again, we can absolutely we get that help from Jesus in our quiet times. But I think the Bible is clear that we need others to grow in this. The Lord brought one man to mind as I was thinking about this, and that's the Apostle Peter. You guys know Peter, maybe the disciple that's talked about most in all of the Gospels. And this fisherman, this basic everyday guy, unschooled, untrained, that Jesus calls to follow him. Jesus says, follow me, I'll make you a fisher of men, and you will be my disciple. He'll be the disciple of the Messiah. How crazy is that? This man went on to be one of the most influential spiritual leaders in the entire world. This basic, everyday man. We clearly see that he became a powerhouse leader in the church, in the early church. He wrote books of the Bible. Peter is the disciple that we most often relate to. I know I do, because so many times he's the guy that the Bible talks about his screw-ups, and it's just like, I can relate to that, man. We see this guy that truly loved the Lord and was overzealous for Jesus, to make Jesus known and to be famous, and so many times put his foot in his mouth because of the things he said and the things that he did. He just wanted Jesus to be glorified, but he didn't know, he wasn't mature, he had to learn. There was a lot of things he had to learn. This is a guy who like us, is so stubborn and naive and can be so overly confident about what he knew. And he had to be rebuked, and he had to be taught by Jesus and by other apostles and people around him. And I just can relate to that. So I thought about him, that Peter, though he was all of these things, he was the epitome of a disciple, which is so good. The Greek word for disciple is mathetes, if I'm saying that right, mathetes, which generally means learner or someone who learns, and that is what Peter embodied, I believe. Peter was a learner. He spent nearly 3 years, or over 3 years, with Jesus, living with him and learning from him and asking him questions. We can see throughout the Gospels that he constantly went to Jesus and said, what happened here? What did you mean by this? Why did you say that? What did that parable mean? What's going to happen when this happens? What should I do in this situation? We can see that in these verses. Luke 12:41 says, Peter said, Lord, are you telling this parable for us or for all? In Matthew 18:21, Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as 7 times? Also in Matthew 15:15, Peter said to him, to Jesus, explain this parable to us. And Mark 13 said, as he sat on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign when all these things are about to be accomplished? Peter didn't just sit around and read the scriptures. He didn't just go to the temple on Sunday morning or to the synagogue and just say that was enough. He walked with Jesus. He walked with his master. He was a learner. He was a disciple. Obviously, we can say that we don't have that opportunity now to physically walk with Jesus. I mean, Jesus was God, and it'd be great if we could all just be walking with Jesus physically for 3 years. That doesn't happen now. But we see throughout the Bible that other relationships like this existed, and I think we need to take notice of that and be that disciple. We just got through 1 Timothy, where Timothy went with Paul on his second missionary journey and learned from Paul, was a disciple to Paul. We saw that as Silas. We see that with Paul and Barnabas. So many times, men walked with other men to learn from them, to be disciples, not just to say, I'm going to be a disciple by reading the word. And that's all good, and we need to do that. But I think we need others in our lives as well. I believe this type of relationship is paramount in men's life specifically, if we want to grow. It's been invaluable in my life, I know that for sure. If I'm honest, that's probably one of the biggest ways that I've grown in my life is the men around me, and I'm so appreciative of that. I can remember when I first started coming to The Rock, I was 18 years old and just my life was a mess. I was this punk kid. And Steele came up to me and was just like, hey, we should hang out. I was like, cool, okay. And I remember Steele put the ball in my court. And he said, you reach out to me, you email me, and I'll find a time that we can hang out. It was up to me to pursue steel at that point to say, if I want to learn from this man, I need to reach out to him. It was on me to be a learner, just like Peter constantly went to Jesus. And obviously, Jesus was with Peter and did the calling, but Peter wanted to learn and wanted to be a disciple. And so I started hanging out with Steele. We'd get coffee, and he would just tell me all of these things. We'd talk about life, and I can remember still to this day things, counsel, advice that he gave me, little nuggets of things that were life-changing for me, honestly. And we would continue to hang out, and shortly after that, I met this girl that was amazing, and I wanted to go down a path of being in a relationship with her, and I knew if I was going to somehow be a leader, a spiritual leader in this amazing girl's life, I had a lot of growing to do. So I continued to pursue Steele and ask him. And he would ask me tough questions, and we would talk about tough things. We would talk about the Bible, and I remember emailing him questions about the Bible. I'd read something and be like, I'm not quite sure if I'm understanding this properly, and email him, and he would get back to me, and there's just so much wisdom that I wanted to soak up from him, and I appreciated him so much. And shortly after meeting this amazing godly girl, she started talking about this amazing guy in her life that had influenced her life more than anybody, and that was her dad. And I figured I should probably get to know that guy too. So Mac and I began a relationship, and I remember I moved to Provo. And again, just this punk kid that doesn't know anything, trying to love Jesus and love people, but really just all over the place. And I remember going on these hour-long walks with Mac once a week and just trying to soak up everything I could from this man that had influenced the girl that I liked and was falling in love with. And if she thought he was amazing, what could I learn from him? What could I soak up from him? I wanted to learn. So we would just go on these walks, and we would talk, and I would listen to the way he would pray. I would listen to the way that he would love people, the way that his faith was lived out, and the things he would say, where he would teach me to not get ahead of myself and not believe things that were not true. And just the way that he put his faith in his full life for the gospel. And it changed my life. And then I got to be around his family and see the way he interacted with his wife. And that taught me how I should treat my wife. And then I saw how he had interacted with his kids. And that taught me one day when I have kids, that's how I should interact with my kids. I want my kids to be respectful in that way. And this all continued when I married the girl. I married his daughter. And I didn't know much about marriage. And so we would go to them constantly. We would get in a fight, and we would go to their house and say, we're having trouble. Or I would call Steele on the phone. And that continued on when we had kids, and we were trying to buy a house, or we were trying to love people in Provo, and we were going through all these tough situations and things that I needed help with because I was stupid, really. I needed that. And I needed to pursue that. And I couldn't just think, I'll just hunker down in my own little world and I'll just read my Bible and I'll get all the things that I need. We need to learn from the men that have gone before us. And just like Mac had all the leaders stand up, guys, if you want that type of relationship, you can pursue that. Any guy that stood up tonight, you can pursue those men and get discipled by them and say, I want to learn from you. I want to soak. And it's not that they're perfect men, but they've gone before us and we can learn from them. We need our brothers' advice and their wisdom. I began to really cherish these verses in those times of my life growing. Proverbs 19:20 says, get all the advice and instruction you can so you will be wise the rest of your life. Proverbs 11:14 says, where there is no guidance, the people fall, but in abundance of counselors, there is victory. That was my life verse for a long time. It's like, I don't want people to fall. I need abundance of counselors for victory. I'm not smart enough to figure it out. And I know many of you have pursued these relationships. I know all of this is true for all of our pastors. I appreciate that Bill has been so vocal about when he was a young Christian, when he first got saved in Iowa, and how he would go to the guys around him and seek their advice and their counsel and ask questions, tough questions. And I asked him about this on Monday, and he said he would write down in notebooks the advice and the counsel these guys would give him so he could look back on it. And knowing Bill, he probably made charts and graphs out of it too. So it was really easy to go through, yeah. And then I know Steele had that in his life when the Lord started getting a hold of his life. Bill, just having that lifeline, really a lifeline of somebody to ask questions. Guys, we can't go through this life by ourselves. We need each other. We need somebody who has gone before us. Amen. There are so many stories we could talk about that. And I know many of you have done this. So again, first and foremost, we grow as we read the word and we pray, and that relationship with Jesus intensifies and he brings things to the light. But it doesn't just stop there. I think we need to go to those who have gone before us. We learn and we grow and we mature by learning from each other and following those who have gone before us. This is what the author, J. Oswald Sanders, of the book, he says this: many who aspire to leadership fail because they never learn to follow. Guys, if you want to lead, if you want to be good leaders, we got to learn to follow. We have to learn to ask questions and ask the people who are leading us. Sorry. I don't think it ever stops too, that we just arrive and all of a sudden that can just go away. I'm speaking to myself even here. I know life can get crazy. We have jobs, we have kids, we have other things that take away our time. And that's a conviction for me preparing this talk. I'll be honest with you. Almost 10 years, I've been meeting with Mac for every single week, and I got a new job 6 months ago, and that hasn't happened because I haven't taken the time to have that, to make that scheduling change. It takes commitment. It takes sacrifice. It makes making a plan. And so I would just encourage you guys to make a plan to implement that in your life. I need to implement that in my life over and over again because we never just arrive. So let's be Peter. Guys, let's be like Peter, where we realize that we need help and we actively pursue to learn. And following that trend, in order to grow as leaders and be effective in our lives, I believe we need to be men who take correction from those who love us. We need to be brothers. We need to have brothers in our lives who know us well, who know how we struggle, what makes us tick, who know our lives, who know our relationships, and can lovingly and strongly correct us. We need to be men who are welcome to this and learn from this. I think of these verses. Proverbs 15:12 says, mockers hate to be corrected, so they stay away from the wise. Proverbs 13:20 says, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise. Instruction and input isn't always a fun thing. Correction's not always a fun thing. To have a guy be like, hey, I see this in your life. You should probably grow in that area. You probably shouldn't talk to your wife that way. You probably shouldn't talk to your kids that way. Or your kids don't respect you. Or you probably shouldn't be watching that or spending time with that person. We need to have somebody who lovingly does that for us. And we see this throughout the Bible. Again, Peter and Jesus, we saw that with them. How many times does Peter say something and Jesus has to rebuke him? I mean, Jesus one time has to tell Peter, get behind me, Satan. You know, it's like he needed to be corrected. He needed to be reproved. He was reproved about how many times he should forgive somebody and how he should treat the poor and the needy. He was reproved about how he should treat children and reproved about how self-assured he was and his loyalty to Jesus. Jesus is like, you're going to deny me. And even in the garden, Jesus had to reprove him, be like, put your knife away, man. You're not in charge here. We also saw that with Moses and Jethro. Moses is trying to lead the people of Israel, and he's trying to take on this whole burden of hearing all of the complaints of Israel. And Jethro, his father-in-law, comes in, and he's not necessarily sinning, but he's not being wise. And Jethro tells him that. He corrects him. He's like, you're going to burn out. You're going to kill yourself doing all of this. You need help. And Moses took that and implemented that in his life, and it helped him. We see this in David and with David and Nathan. You guys know when he commits adultery with Bathsheba, Nathan has to rebuke him and call him to repentance because he did sin. We need men in our lives who love us enough to be honest with us and also who love Jesus more than they love us, who's willing to speak the truth. We can't just stay away from the wise because we don't want to be corrected. It's a safeguard for our lives. Do we open our lives to this? Do you guys open your lives to this? Do you tell others around you? Do you allow them to speak into your lives? Do you say, if you see something in my life, I want you to tell me? Do you open your life to that? Do you listen when they do tell you? Or do you get defensive? Do you get offended? Do you show that you're not correctable? Proverbs 12:1 says, to learn, you must love discipline. It is stupid to hate correction. And Proverbs 27:5, better is open rebuke than love that is concealed. Faithful are the words, the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. If somebody loves you enough to be honest with you and correct you, it's because they love you and they want the best for you, and that's good for us. These truths are so good, and we need to believe them and receive them and implement them into our life. And we can also realize it's not just a safeguard for us. Guys, we're talking about leadership. We're leading people. We're leading our families. We're leading the church. We're leading people in maybe our community or our work. We need to realize that it's a safeguard for them as well. And I love this quote, John Bloom, who writes for Desiring God. He wrote this, when God brings correction to us through the loving observation of someone else, it's a gift. But not only for us, it's often for many others as well. If we pridefully resist correction, we are likely plugging up a channel of grace to others. There's more at stake in our humility than we realize. Guys, if you're not allowing your life to be spoken into, you're robbing your family of you being a better leader, of you helping. You're robbing your family, your wife, your children, your roommates, whoever you are leading. You're robbing the church. You're plugging up a channel of grace to others. That's so important that we get this, guys. If we want to grow in these areas of discipline and vision and be humble, we need to have men who speak into our lives. I believe we all want to win in this. We all want to be more effective in our lives and our leadership. We want to grow in the areas that the book talked about. So let's be men that are honest about where we are. Let's be honest with ourselves. Let's be honest with Jesus. Let's be honest with somebody else to say, this is where I'm at. Because we can't grow if we're not honest with where we're at. Let's be men who pursue to learn from the men who are around us and have gone before us. Men that speak wisdom into our lives and will be an example to us. Sometimes it's just being around them. They don't have to say anything. You just see it in their lives. And that has to happen more than just seeing them for 1 hour on the weekend. At church, you don't even get to really see their lives. But there's men who want to open up their lives to you, to go over to their home, to see how they interact with their families and with others. And let's be humble men who are open to being taught and corrected by men who love us. Enough to be brutally and lovingly honest with us. Can we do that? Let's do that. Let's pray. God, we love you. We thank you, Jesus, that you have a good plan for us. I thank you that you know exactly where we are, God, and you know what you can do with us, Lord, if we would just be willing to humble ourselves and ask for help, Lord. And I don't have all the answers, Jesus. Nobody does in this room. Only you do. But thank you that we have each other to look to you together, to have each other's backs, to love each other. What a gift that is, Lord. Help nobody here to miss out on that, God, that gift that is. That's changed my life tremendously, Lord. I wouldn't be here today without the men in this room
So I just thank you for them. Pray you would be with us now as we discuss this, Lord, and we answer some questions with each other. Lord, may we be honest. May we look at our lives truthfully and be willing to implement some of this, Lord. Each one of us. We're all at a different place, God, but that doesn't mean we can't grow from where we are. And believe that's your heart for us, Lord. So we love you. We just commit the rest of our time to you. In Jesus' name, amen.